Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. Merry Christmas. I'm going to go ahead and just pray for our time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for who you are and what you have done for us and how Christmas is a reminder for us that you have made a way for us to be right with you by sending your Son to live a sinless life in order to pay sin's penalty for us. We're so thankful for all the ways that changes everything for us by breaking the curse of sin and death and the devil. And thank you so much for just giving us a life of abundant joy because we know you and because we're saved. Lord, I thank you so much for all of the ladies here. Thank you for all the hard work that went into preparing such a nice way for us to gather together and just be an encouragement to one another and sit under the teaching of your word. I pray that the ladies would be encouraged by the time spent in your word and that you would just soften our hearts, that we would receive your word and that you would encourage our hearts this Christmas and that we would take away newfound joy in what's been done for us in your coming here to make things right for us and make a way for us to be saved. We love you so much. We just pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. How many of you, and this is just for fun, how many of you enjoy watching the Christmas specials that happen every year? Just for fun, just to get an idea. Yeah. There's kid movies, the classic movies. We have the Hallmark. You can binge and watch those 24/7, it seems like. We love stories. And we love a good story. A good story captivates. And they all have a similar sort of formula, where there's some sort of wicked or an evil foe. There's a conflict to overcome. You have your good guys and your bad guys. Sometimes there's a curse on some of the characters or one. An unlikely hero. Oftentimes there's a surprise ending. Usually, the good guys win. And everything is made right. The evil is overcome by good. And we long for this. We kind of root for the good guys to win. Our heart longs for justice and redemption. We want to see things resolve in a good way. We want to see the evil empire vanquished. And we want to see the captives set free, the wicked witch to be destroyed. And there's a reason for this. And the reason is because God has written on our hearts his moral law. Romans 12:2-15 tells us that every person's heart, whether you know Jesus or not, every person's heart has God's basic law written on it. So it doesn't mean that you necessarily will be able to tell all of the laws, all of the rules and the Pentateuch and be able to know them by heart and know and be able to verbalize those. But our thoughts and our conscience either accuses us or defends us in the way we think about things. So deep within us, something whispers to us, yes or no, right or wrong. We have a sense of what is good and evil, what's right and wrong for every person because God made us that way. And that's why we love a good story. And that's why we want a good ending. And that's every story, mostly, right? Every fairy tale, every action movie, the Disney movies and the Hallmark movies, there's a formula for it. And that's actually the gospel. The gospel is the good news that we're going to be looking at this afternoon that is the template for every good story. Every time that we're reading the story about Jesus' birth, we're seeing elements of the best story that's ever been told. It's the greatest news that you will ever receive. It's the best story that's ever been told and ever that you will ever see. And many people don't even know this story. For a lot of people, the baby Jesus is just another symbol of Christmas. We have Santa Claus,
We have elves. We have wreaths, holly, Christmas trees, Frosty the Snowman. And once a year, maybe people see baby Jesus in the manger scene on somebody's front lawn or put up on the mantle. They unwrap, put it out with the other decorations, and then at the end, you're going to wrap it up and put it away again. And that may be the only time that someone is confronted with Jesus during Christmas time. Most have not read the story, the good news of the gospel, about Jesus coming to seek and to save those who are lost. The redemptive story of man, of God saving man, that's woven throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, from creation to recreation, is the true story. The battle between good and evil is a battle of a wicked foe and a huge conflict that is not able to be overcome by the characters involved. And we're in that story too. This is the true story and the template for every other story. The characters are under a deadly curse. We're under a deadly curse. We need someone to save us. We need a hero to rescue. We need a solution outside of ourselves, and we need a savior. And there's only one person who can save. But this story is real. It's the true story of Jesus stepping out of heaven. He was born to die for you and for me. So let's take a look at the best story ever told. If you have your Bible, we're going to open to Luke 2, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 20. And I know we already looked at the passage, so I'm not going to read the whole thing since we've looked at it already, but you can follow along as I summarize. We're going to see three reasons why this is the best news that has ever been given, the best story ever told. And it has to do with the identity of the baby in the manger. We'll see how the angel presents it. So there's shepherds out in their field at night, and an angel of the Lord appears suddenly, and the glory of the Lord surrounds them. And the shepherds are extremely frightened because they're being confronted with angelic beings. And any time that happens with people who are sinful people, and you're confronted with heavenly being, an angel, it's very frightening because all of a sudden you feel very sinful and very small. So they're very frightened. But the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people." So I want to back up right there and just say, what good news is it that they're telling them, don't be afraid? They have every reason to be afraid because they're sinful people, and they should be expecting bad news because they deserve condemnation. They don't deserve good things. They know they're sinners, and they know that they deserve condemnation. But instead of getting bad news, the angel says, I bring you good news, great joy, and it will be for all the people. So continuing, for today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the angel says, for today, this is very significant because for thousands of years, all of Israel has been waiting for a Savior. They know that they need a Savior, and they've been waiting for the Messiah. And another significant factor is they've heard nothing from God for 400 years. From the time of the last book of the Old Testament to right now, to this announcement, there's been no word from God. And people have become discouraged because when you don't hear from God, you feel like maybe this is not happening anymore. What's going on? You haven't heard any word. But the angel says, today, it's happening today. Not like the fairy tales that are kind of like, once upon a time, in this weird town, the Hallmark movies, they all have this weird cheesy town, like Christmas Cookie, Oklahoma, or I think there's one like Garland, Alaska. Ridiculous. This is like a real place at a real time. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you. So in the city of David, that is a prophetic city. The Savior has to be born there in order to be the Messiah. If he was born anywhere else, he couldn't have been who he said he was. Who has been born for you. It's personal. These shepherds who are not even considered worth anything in that society. They were kind of down at the very bottom echelon of that society. They were not educated. They were not participating in the normal activity of daily life. They couldn't participate in any of the temple worship because they were dirty. They were smelly. They were filthy around sheep all the time, and they couldn't become ceremonially clean in order to participate in the temple worship and all the happenings. And the angel said, a savior has been born for you, a savior who is Christ the Lord. So these are the three reasons wrapped up in why this is great news. There's three reasons why this is the best news. This is the Savior, this is the Christ, and this is the Lord. Okay, so for number one, why this is the greatest news ever told, the best news that anyone could ever hear, a Savior has been born for you. The baby in the manger is the Savior. Jesus' name means the Lord is salvation. And the shepherds and most everyone in Israel, everyone who loved God, was waiting for a Savior. This is the best news ever. A Savior who's going to save the people from their sins. They knew they were sinners. Every person is a sinner. We are all sinners, and we're all in desperate need of a Savior. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, every person born ever since has been born with a sin nature. So, we sin by nature, and we sin by choice. It's in our DNA. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And there's not one righteous person. Not one. Romans 3:10. So that's our biggest problem, and it's a universal problem. That's why God had to send a Savior for us. And that's why He did. We need to be rescued from the consequence of our sin, and everyone's in that category. We all need a rescuer. We've all broken God's law, and we're all on our way to eternal hell, and we need to be rescued. So this is good news. They are being told a Savior has been born. God has sent His Son to save us. And the angel said, this is for all the people. That means it's for all of us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The child is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29, and He's the only one who can save. He's the only one. Acts 4:12 tells us, and there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Great news. The second reason why this is good news of great joy, the baby in the manger is the Christ, the long-awaited, promised Messiah. He is the consolation of Israel, the fulfillment of all of the hopes and longings, the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy. He's the consolation of Israel. Consolation of Israel is a really important thing to meditate on, to console. It means to alleviate grief, to take away a sense of loss or trouble. The Messiah is the consolation of Israel. He was to remove sorrow and comfort Israel. And that's a big deal. That brings great joy to them. Throughout Israel's history, they were having a really hard time, suffering greatly. They endured some hard bondage in Egypt. They endured decades of exile. And currently laboring under Roman rule, they were in desperate need of comfort and consolation. And many people in Israel thought that that consolation was going to come in terms of a military conqueror who was going to ride in on a fancy chariot and take over the oppressive government powers that were holding them under oppression. And so they weren't really thinking it probably didn't sound good to look for a baby in a manger. But He is the anointed one. And in Scripture, every time that you see God's anointed, that means His chosen people. And the anointed one every time he talks about it. It's a very high office, worthy of exaltation, worthy of very high honor. In Scripture, those people who are the anointed are the priests, the prophets, and the kings. And this little baby is all three. He is high priest for his people. He is the mediator between God and man. He's the only one that gains us access where sinners can truly be in the presence of God. When he died to pay the penalty for us, the veil of the temple literally split in two. And that was symbolizing that we now can go in and have access to God. He is prophet. He's God's final and greatest spokesman. Hebrews 1:1-2 talks about God has never had a prophet like Jesus. God, at sundry times and diverse manner in time past, spoke according to the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. And his Son is the greatest of all the prophets. He's the greatest preacher who ever lived. And he spoke only the truth of the Word of God. So he's also king. The little baby in the manger is the greatest king who will ever live. He is king of kings, and he will reign forever. This is great news, the best news. The third reason why this is good news, of great joy, that Savior has been born, he is the Lord. The baby in the manger is God himself. His name, Emmanuel, means God with us. So it's the Lord God in the flesh. He is the eternal, sovereign, self-existent God of the universe, creator of all, the Lord of lords. And no one who won't affirm Christ as full equal with God the Father can be saved. Jesus gave this warning to the Jews, unless you believe that I am God, you will die in your sins. John 8:24. Isaiah 9:6 gives the names of the baby. His names are Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This is the best news that brings the greatest joy. And this story is real, and it demands a response. It's not the same thing as watching a Hallmark movie or watching one of the Christmas specials where you can just kind of talk to your friend or a family member and say, I really like that. What did you think? Well, what did you think? Well, I didn't care for this part. I did like this part. I wish the characters would have done this. It's not that way. We have a response that is required of us, and it matters. Our eternal destiny hangs on our response to that little baby in the manger, because the baby is God. The story of Jesus Christ as Savior, a response is required from us. We have a baby born in a manger who is God. The baby is the God who created and owns everything. Genesis 1:1 tells us, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And in Psalm 24:1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. We're told in the Bible that God is perfectly holy. 1 John 1:5 says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So we are required to be perfect, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That's what it says in the Bible. Matthew 5:48, we have to be perfect. So a lot of people will say, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm good, or I'm this, or I'm that. You have no idea, because the Bible tells us that there's no way that we can keep God's law perfectly. The Bible says if you keep the whole law and you have stumbled in one point, you have become guilty of all. James 2:10. So we can't keep it, and every person has broken God's law, and there's not one righteous, not even one. And that's some bad news, because we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And since we've broken every law according to what it says in Scripture, because if you mess up in one place, you're guilty of the whole thing, the wages of sin is death. And we have no way to take care of this enormous problem. You can't work at it. You can't do acts of righteousness. You can't try to be a good person and make up for these things. The Bible tells us in Titus 3:5 that he saved us not on the basis of deeds that we've done in righteousness. And our righteousness is a filthy rag to God. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But that's where the good news comes in. This is where the baby Jesus born in the manger is God, and that's good news. God sent his son to earth as fully God and sinless man in order to walk out a perfect life, in order to be a sacrifice for our sins. Colossians 2:9 tells us, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. This is the baby in the manger. And he demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Those little cute hands and little feet in the manger on the little baby Jesus grew as he became a man, and those hands were stretched out on a cross, and nails were driven through them and through his feet, and that was to pay for my sin and yours. His blood was shed as a sacrifice in order to save us. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, not only that, he raised from the grave and he's alive today. And that means it's all true. Every last prophecy, all the things that were said about the baby, it's true. He raised from the grave, he's alive today, and you can be forgiven and you can be made right with God. But it requires that you repent of all that dishonors God. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We have forgiveness in Christ. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we have a great example in the shepherds and in Mary, four responses that they had to the gospel that we need to also have. The first thing that the shepherds did was to believe immediately and to come to Jesus immediately. We read here in verse 15, when the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. They came immediately. They weren't skeptics. They didn't say, well, let me think about it, because I'm not sure if this thing and how did this. They didn't try to figure it out. They believed it right away. And our response needs to be identical. And then the second thing they did was to tell everyone what they had heard. When they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed about the things which were told them by the shepherds. Number three, treasure in your heart. Mary treasured all these things in her heart, pondering them in her heart. We need to think about who this baby in the manger is. He's not a decoration, not a lawn ornament, not something to be unwrapped at Christmas time. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Lord. He is Christ. As Mary did, reflect on him, what he has done, who he is. And then the fourth response, which is so important, is to glorify God. That's what angels do all day long, every day. Before Jesus left heaven to be a man, to die for us, he was being worshipped in heaven day and night, where the angels never ceased to say, holy, holy, holy. The main point of everything and the reason that we exist is to bring glory to God. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The story of Jesus coming from heaven and being born in a manger is good news that produces great joy. Unlike the fairy tales and the Hallmark movies, this is a real story that offers hope and joy for you and me. The baby in the manger is not just a symbol. He is Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. But good news. what joy this brings to all who will put their trust in Him. Praise God.